Hi folks, this is Tony for aminutetomidnight.com, and today what I want to do is do a short kind of overview on some of the important stories at the moment and how they relate to us and why they're important, and it will hopefully get you thinking about what to do and what to prioritize and to get your focus where it needs to be. Just before I start, I want to remind people that we do run A Minute to Midnight by donations 100%. If anyone's able to help donate, help us through donating, that's always very much appreciated. Obviously, costs are constantly going up, but donations haven't been. So if anybody is able to help, it's always much appreciated. And you can donate at aminutetomidnight.com. And also please subscribe to us there, going down the right-hand side of the page. Subscribe to the blog at aminutetomidnight.com. And also subscribe, of course, to our YouTube channels and Apple Podcasts and so on. So now we've got this situation in the Middle East with the war with Iran. And at the moment, positions of both sides seem to be pretty entrenched. It's hard to see a way out of this situation at this point because neither side seems to really want to budge. And Trump and America saying that they will stop Iran getting a nuclear weapon, and that's the bottom line. Iran apparently doesn't seem to be interested in being stopped. I don't know whether they have an intention of getting a nuclear weapon together or not. They're kind of very opaque about it. But they are saying any continuation of the war and look out, basically, because Iran has still got 70%, I believe, of their drones and underground infrastructure in place. So while Trump keeps touting America's great victory and so on, the reality is Iran is nowhere near done. And they're saying if the war picks up again, they'll attack the surrounding nations as well as America and Israel, of course. And having said that, see, Israel, I think, doesn't want the war to end at the moment because Iran still has too much capability. So it seems that Netanyahu's answer would be to continue the war and try and destroy Iran further. But of course, that just brings the rest of the world into economic turmoil. It's already there, and it would only get worse if the war continues. So it's very hard to see how this ends unless somebody makes a concession. And I don't think either side trusts the other side. And, you know, I would say, well, the Islamic regime will say whatever they need to say. That's part of the Islamic mindset. But they're not just going to surrender. That's not part of their mindset. So we could see an escalation of the situation quite easily in the next little while, unless something radically changes. And if something doesn't radically change, the world is in for serious global oil shortages in the coming months. And if the war does pick up again and Iran strikes the infrastructure around about, well, that will only make things even worse for the production of oil and so on. And the situation could be much, much worse. But even if things just carry on as the way they are at the moment, with the Strait of Hormuz basically closed and so on, there's going to be serious shortages in the coming months, probably starting in Europe fairly soon, and it'll take a little longer, but it will flow on to everywhere else. So preparation for what might come is something you might want to consider. So that's the first thing I wanted to mention. Second thing is we're being conditioned to expect some sort of a big reveal, and all of a sudden it seems like just about everyone is talking about UFOs and aliens. That's a headline from an article by Michael Snyder at the end of The American Dream. I just want to read parts of it. So it isn't just a coincidence. It's been an explosion of interest in the subject of UFOs and aliens recently. The truth is we are being conditioned. For decades, books, movies, television shows, and video games have been conditioning us to think a certain way about encounters with very strange unidentified aircraft that are flying through our skies and encounters with very strange unidentified beings that seem to have unusual powers. But now this year it appears that the level of conditioning is reaching a crescendo. We are being told to brace ourselves for some sort of a big reveal that will change everything, and that should deeply alarm all of us. So the stage has been set for a deception on a grand scale, and I think a lot of the people around the world will fall for whatever the narrative they give you is. Even with all the other things going on in the world in 2026, like I just mentioned, the Iran war and so on, yet people are focused now, or being focused deliberately, on the alien and UFO thing, disclosure thing. And it's even coming out in the mainstream media. And recently, President Donald Trump posted an AI-generated image of himself walking along with a big alien, muscular-looking, grey alien, tall one with, you know, ankle shackles and things. And what was Trump trying to do by that? Is it some sort of a, you know, joke or funny, or is something more serious going on here and it's being just put in the public's eye, as Trump does so often with social media postings? But also remember, many of you probably know that a few weeks ago Perry Stone created some sort of a furore when he said a group of pastors had been instructed to prepare their congregations for what the government would reveal about aliens and UFOs. And he was not actually himself at the supposed meeting, Perry Stone, but apparently a friend of his was. Well, anyway, it looks like a lot of Perry Stone's information that he was used and giving, you know, this fear-mongering thing was bad information and exaggerated. And what the pastors had been told was not what Perry Stone was saying. And the person that apparently briefed that group was a US representative, Eric Burleson, and he made it clear when he called into the meeting he did not say anything about UFOs and aliens that had not already been said publicly elsewhere. So, you know, Perry Stone got it wrong, basically. And the sort of hysteria that we start to see just feeds into the conditioning. So I'll go back slightly to, you know, something else Michael Snyder wrote in his article. We've created an environment where much of the population is fully expecting something really big to happen. So when something really big does happen, the conditioning will kick in and they will believe what they've been conditioned to believe. The stage is set for a deception of absolutely epic proportions. Unfortunately, when the time comes, much of the population will go along with it, hook, line, and sinker, says Michael Snyder. So a former CIA scientist has claimed there are several alien species the US government secretly knows about. Dr. Hal Puthoff, a physicist and electrical engineer who worked in the intelligence community's psychic spy and UFO research programs in the 70s and 80s, said people who've recovered crashed UFOs encountered at least four types of alien life. Those species have previously been discussed by physicist Dr. Eric Davis, who's known for his work on top secret Pentagon projects, who testified in Congress that greys, Nordics, insectoids, and reptilians are potential operators of unidentified craft. And there's an article about that that you can find at the dailymail.com. So another interesting article I came across, a Texas pastor says there are recurring spiritual patterns in UFO files that paint a terrifying picture of what aliens really want. A Texas pastor has issued a chilling warning about what he says are hidden messages lurking behind UFO encounters. Josh Howerton, leader of Lake Point Church, made the claims in a recent episode of his podcast show Live Free. People who have had alien abductions, they consistently report messages from these beings that are explicitly antichrist, he said. The conversation painted a disturbing picture of mysterious entities that allegedly reject Jesus, contradict Christian teaching, and encourage people to embrace a new spiritual consciousness. According to him, many reported encounters revolve around messages claiming all religions are equally true, Jesus was merely human, and humanity is preparing for a dramatic transformation. The discussion also connected the alleged messages to biblical warnings in Galatians 1:8 and the book of Revelation, including references to false gospels, spiritual deception, and a coming one world government. Howerton says the overlap between alleged UFO encounters and anti-Christian themes had become too consistent to dismiss it as a coincidence. Well, absolutely. So one of the biggest warning signs raised involved what Howerton called a strong correlation between occult or New Age practices and alleged alien abductions. There is a high correlation between people experimenting with occult and New Age practices and quote-unquote alien abductions, Howerton said before adding, when you're messing with that stuff, it's really demonic. The most alarming detail, he says, are the messages allegedly delivered by the entities themselves. Many of the UFO reports involve beings encouraging humanity to prepare for a coming spiritual ascension process while abandoning traditional religion. Howerton also claimed many of the reported entities promote ideas centered around global unity and centralized world leaders. That a lot of that comes from the dailymail.com. And of course, I do believe that is exactly what is happening here. The aliens, supposed aliens, which I believe are fallen ones under the control of Lucifer or Satan, are preparing us for a one world government. And they will lie and deceive in any way possible to prepare us for the coming Antichrist and the global system, which we will know as the beast, I think, is being already put well and truly into place, though only a long way to go yet. And so the alien and UFO agenda is going to play right into that agenda, I totally believe. Okay, so let's move on from the UFOs and alien thing at the moment. Here's another concerning one, humans playing God in science. Colossal Biosciences says breakthrough means it's a step closer to resurrecting the giant moa, which was a huge flightless New Zealand bird. And basically it's Peter Jackson's initiative. He's the guy that did The Lord of the Rings and all of those movies. Directed them. He wanted them to resurrect the giant moa, and so that's what they're trying to do. So a multi-billion dollar de-extinction company believes it's one step closer to resurrecting New Zealand's largest and long extinct flightless bird. Colossal Biosciences, headquartered in Texas, is heralding a major breakthrough in its development of an artificial egg that it says is crucial to giant moa, which died out nearly 500 years ago, once again walking the earth. The company said it had successfully hatched 26 chickens from a novel artificial egg designed to be produced at scale and at any size. The biotech company, which recently claimed to have resurrected the dire wolf, has courted controversy with de-extinction projects, with critics questioning the ethics of de-extinction and whether it's even a valid claim. Although its South Island giant moa project faced some backlash when it was announced almost a year ago, it has financial backing from filmmaker Peter Jackson and is run in partnership with Ngāi Tahu, that's a Maori tribe by the way, Research Centre and the Canterbury Museum. So that comes from stuff.co.nz. So Colossal Biosciences, by the way, is also the company trying to bring back the woolly mammoth. And the company said the development, what it's doing with the moa, marks a critical milestone for their plans to de-extinct the South Island giant moa, which was an enormous bird that stood 11.8 feet or 3.6 metres tall and weighed 570 pounds or 230 kilograms. So this is humans playing God. And, you know, we've all seen Jurassic Park and those types of things and how, you know, it portrays them bringing back extinct species and the disaster around it. So I think that anytime humans are playing God like they're doing in many, many ways at the moment, disaster is inevitable. Okay, moving on from that, we've got recently we've had the hantavirus with the cruise ships and the, you know, the scare around that, and then Ebola now. Okay, so experimental drugs may be used to combat fast-moving Ebola outbreak as deaths rise. Vaccines and drugs still in development could be used to fight a fast-moving outbreak of a rare strain of Ebola, reports say. The development comes after the World Health Organization Director General openly worried over the scale and speed of the outbreak of a rare type of a deadly virus in eastern Congo, where authorities reported a sharp increase in suspected deaths to at least 134 and more than 500 suspected cases. So the WHO has declared the Ebola outbreak a public health emergency of international concern, requiring a coordinated response. Resources were being rushed to the two affected provinces near the border with Uganda, which was reported one death in a person who travelled from the Congo. So we can see the same sort of playbook like COVID. Oh, we've got to get this united, coordinated global response under the WHO. And where this will go with this Ebola outbreak at this point is anyone's guess. Will it just fade out and then peter out, like what happened with the monkeypox a while back and so on? Or will this one be the next COVID type thing? Well, we'll have to wait and see. But what it does is it demonstrates to the world and conditions everyone to the mindset again that, oh gosh, we've got to coordinate all this globally under a one world health authority. And so that's part of that, again, that playbook to move us towards centralized control of the world. All right, so moving on to the next thing I wanted to cover, and that is AI and how AI is taking over jobs everywhere and other things to do with AI. See, for example, in New Zealand here, this is from stuff.co.nz yesterday, New Zealand's finance minister, Nicola Willis, says the use of AI and digitisation will help save $2.4 billion over the next 4 years and cut thousands of jobs from the public service. She also announced a target of reducing the public sector workforce by 8,700 people down to 55,000 by mid-2029. So, you know, this is the thing. AI is replacing jobs. Do we need it to replace the jobs? Aren't humans more important in jobs and giving people something to do and you know, work that they can provide for their families and so on, and give them some meaning in life by being part of society and the workforce? Well, it seems no. These days it's like, oh, no, let's get rid of as many people as possible and replace them with AI so we can save money, or in the case of a lot of big corporations, make a lot of money for their shareholders. And such would be an example here. We've got Meta laying off 8,000 employees worldwide. Wednesday marked the first day of notices for layoffs within Meta as the tech giant aims to cut 8,000 roles or 10% of its workforce while investing billions of dollars in AI, according to the New York Post. Another 7,000 staffers are to be reassigned to AI-focused positions. So everywhere we're seeing AI take over jobs, and of course robots as well. That's the other side of the thing, is robots taking over human jobs too. And so, yeah, I guess AI can streamline some things, but there are also a lot of different dangers associated with it. And that includes this one. From basedunderground.com, the AI companion trap, when Silicon Valley sells solace and steals souls, written by Terry Newton. Americans are increasingly trading messy, meaningful human bonds for flawless, frictionless chatbots. What began as a quirky tech novelty has accelerated into a cultural crisis, with millions opting for digital partners that never argue, never disappoint, and never demand real sacrifice. Platforms like Character AI boast tens of millions of users, many under 24 years old, with some marrying their digital creations in virtual ceremonies. Surveys show 1 in 5 adults have flirted with chatbots, while teens increasingly turn to them for emotional support or romance. Human relationships require patience, forgiveness and self-denial, qualities that build character and community. AI offers the illusion of intimacy without the image of God, reality that makes persons worth knowing. As one researcher observed, users often prefer AI precisely because humans come with baggage, attitude and ego. The result, a generation learning to outsource vulnerability to code, retreating further from embodied connections flourishing, essential to flourishing. So there's a lot more in that article, but you get the point. It's like people are going towards AI and robots and all of those things instead of human interaction and human relationships, which of course was also a good part of the depopulation agenda. Get people to stop mating and lower the population. That's one way of doing it. So another aspect of this whole thing with AI is the data centers, huge data centers appearing all over the place. And they are going to be part of our digital panopticon, our prison where they monitor everything. Well, they already are. It's only going to get worse. Monitor everything we do, and everything is recorded in these massive data centers. So this is an article titled Military Operation AI Data Centers, a special report. At the start of his second term, Trump's first announcement was the Stargate project. By the way, I'm only cherry-picking bits of the article, not reading the whole thing. An unprecedented $500 billion artificial intelligence infrastructure initiative to build a colossal nationwide network of AI data centers without any public input or consideration of the calamitous effects on numerous cities and counties in all 50 states of America. This military op is being executed under the false rubric of national security in order to swiftly overcome any resistance whatever in locales that are dug in against it. So I'll just read here their predictable and highly intentional catastrophic AI data center impacts, which are already destroying communities, and they are as follows. First, thermal pollution. Data centers dump immense heat into the environment, raising nighttime temperatures and disrupting local ecosystems. Second, the water crisis. Billions of gallons are stolen from communities as documented in other reports. Third, massive energy consumption is driving up costs for everyone and forcing reliance on fossil fuels. Texas has approved the nation's largest air pollution permit for a 7.65 gigawatt natural gas and data center complex, a verdict of death for air quality. Fourth, air quality degradation, noise pollution, and wildlife devastation create a perimeter of death around every large-scale data center. Fifth, land use displaces ranching and farming, logging and mining with no oversight. Sixth, PJM Interconnection has warned of a grid collapse as AI servers and retiring coal plants collide with servers now consuming twice as much power as older models. That was from the burning platform. There's a lot more in the article. But what we are actually seeing is the data centers are using massive amounts of water, and in many cases, the residents of the area are suffering as a result because the water gets prioritized to the data centers. And it's not just water, it's energy, everything else, because you've got to have these colossal data centers running 24/7, 365 days a year. You can't have downtime. You can't have any sort of outages. That would be economically disastrous. So they have to keep them running at all costs. So if there's a drought, for example, who's going to get the water first? The homeowners in the area, the farmers, or the data centres? Well, of course, it's going to be the data centres. And there are many other type of environmental issues as well. Like, you know, what damage are they going to do? Well, it doesn't matter because the data centres have to be there. So everything else suffers. And energy. If there's an energy crisis, who gets the energy first? The data centres. And so on. And this is all part of this enclosing us into this colossal beast system that will track, trace, monitor, and control every aspect of our lives. And that isn't just science fiction or conspiracy theory. It's exactly what they want. It is the goal. And there is so much more I could say on all of these things, but I will just leave it at there, I think, for today. Just remember that we've got to get our eyes on to the Lord first and foremost. And remember that 2 Corinthians 9:8 tells us God is able to make all grace abound towards us, that we always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. And remember Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's get in the habit of reminding God of those scriptures, proclaiming them, and realizing that no matter what comes against us, this is our reality, is what God says, not what the world tells us. And when the alien and UFO deception starts, get your eyes on to the truth of the Word of God, not onto what the media and the government and everyone else tells you you have to believe. Just remember that if it doesn't line up with Scripture, that the Scripture is what you need to believe before them. So that is pretty much all I wanted to cover today. God bless, and God willing, we will be back with another episode in a few days' time. So many things happening constantly. As I mentioned, just keep your eyes on the Lord and look up. Your redemption draws nigh.